Fanny Cuthbert Byer has lived all her life near Viola. She recalls staying in the Comers Hotel so she could attend school, the young arsonist who burnt the church, school, and hall, and the coming of the Seventh-day Adventists to Viola. Other memories include the inland train, packing apples, and Julietta, the first wheat she ever saw harvested, and how her father prospered during the 1893 Depression.
Next thing I remember, our sister, who's passed away now, she married a man who come from Wisconsin to, was a millwright at Potlatch, and he worked there, and they got married and had a house. I can remember it just as well, it was a company town then, and everybody had the little square houses. And I used to stay over there quite a lot. And on Sunday, we'd get up and walk up to Princeton, walk the railroad track just to be going someplace. I don't remember that, I suppose Potlatch did have a school, right, maybe not right then, but very soon, and a church or two. And then our father used to buy and sell cattle, and we used to sell at the mill. At the store. That was a company store, and they bought everything. I can remember even washing parsnips in the spring, you know. Our dad raised a good garden, and parsnips was pretty, that was something special, you know. Everybody didn't have them. And we'd sell them by the gunny sacks for parsnips in the spring. Well, that's about the last I remember about Potlatch, and it got to be quite a big town. I don't think people, probably they did shop there, but it seemed like it's like it is nowadays. People go to someplace else to buy clothes and things, you know. They say people...
No, I don't think they had a good... Good store there.
Well, pretty good. Don't you remember Jack, that man worked in the shoe store that shot himself? Jack Comerford? Mm-hmm. He married a girl, a brown girl. And I don't know, I guess they were having trouble. Anyway, I can remember that was quite an ordeal when he shot himself in one night in the shoe store.
Was that in Potlatch?
But old MacDonald, for years, had the Potlatch store. And he was an old Scotchman that was a friend of my dad's, and he used to come out and visit and buy cattle. And then my dad butcher them and deliver. But it was a general store. It had everything, but maybe not so much of probably working men's clothes more than people's. Probably the women didn't have much finery them days, but they had to have shoes and good clothes for the men who worked in the woods. That's about what I can remember. And then a few years later, we went to the dance hall was up over the store. I've been there lots of times to dances. And I don't know if that was, what's IOOF? That Knights of Columbus? It's a lodge, but what is it? That's not Elks.
No.
But it was something, a lodge that I can remember had the hall.
Of course, and that was the dance hall?
Mm-hmm, upstairs. So, and then, I don't know much about the schools, but they have had good schools there now, and do. Of course, that was a good many years ago. That's 60 years ago, at least. A lot of things can happen in that length of time.
Well, when you were young here and growing up, was Viola called Viola, or was it called 4 Mile?
No, it's been Viola ever since But I can remember the talk before, can't you?
Well, I remember hearing talk about it, but I don't know.
You never remembered anything but 4 Mile.
It was always
I think that's when it changed to Viola, when they got the post office here, because we never got mail. I can remember when we got the mail route. You? No, you wasn't home. See, she was a little older than me, and about the time I was going to grade school here, she was going to high school in Moscow. So, and then after she got away from high school and growed up, then she went several years away from this town. That's why she don't, but I'm sure in your time, nobody, we never had Farmer.
No.
It was always Viola, but it seemed like when it was platted, when they got this, it was named Farmile, and why, I don't know. It's Farmile Creek. And I don't know anybody that does know why it was.
Do you know how Viola, how they got the name Squid?
Well, there's several different, one girl I went to school with, she always claimed that it was named after her, some of these old fellows, but it wasn't. Viola Lynch never lived here when she was a big girl
before she was born.
Yeah, that's what I know. So I don't know why it was named Viola, and I don't believe anybody else does. Somebody, I suppose, just picked that name. But anyway, we didn't have the train through here then. The train went through, long.
Oh, I've been gone quite a while.
Yeah.
The train went through.
Right. I was 15 or 16 when we had the electric train go through. I can remember that was quite an event when, to get down to Depot and go on the train. You know, it had two or three trains a day. You could go to Moscow and come back on the same time, go to Plush or even to Spokane and get home the same day because had so many trains there. And then as time went on, just got less and less till we didn't have any. But
was that a big thing? Did the kids go down there much when they were building it?
Oh, yes. That was a great thing to go down and ride on the, things that they work to, the working men get. What are they?
Push cars?
Hand cars, yeah. But I never got in on that much. I was big enough to, but I lived 3 miles away. But the kids and the big boys, that was always a great thing. I can remember some of them maybe almost get on the trestle, and you had to know what to do if you got caught on the trestle, and you didn't dare with a hand car, but a foot you could. You get off the side, you know, if it didn't pull you under. I think I would always been afraid I'd get caught out there on a hand car. Then you'd be in a bad way, but nobody ever got killed. But I know they used to use the hand cars at night and trips, just like they do with stealing a car nowadays, or probably not just like that, but just fun. But we used to have ball game and Viola on Sundays, and then...
Was that when you were young?
Mm-hmm.
You had the...
Mm-hmm. And then go down to the depot and see who come in on the train. It was nothing else much to do, you know. We never had a show house here or anything. So...
Hey, would anyone special ever come here, particularly?
Well, when these cabins, one time we had about four cabins, rentable cabins, before, they didn't call them motels. Well, they were young, immature motels, I would say. They're for renting out, you know. Some people would come for the winter and go to school, or if they had a job, why then they'd rent a little cabin. Well, one time, old John E. Lewis, you remember? I never seen him, but he stayed out. Something was happening in town, a convention, and he couldn't get, the hotels were full. And he come out to Viola and stayed all night in one of those cabins, but very few knew it until it was quite a story afterwards, but nobody hardly knew it was him, only the people that...
John L. Lewis?
Yeah, the old... what is he? He's a labor leader.
He was a union.
Yeah, union leader. Well, that was... about the only one I remember coming here. But had a great big car. What was it, a Duesenberg or something? And we found out later that he'd spent the night in Viola. But of course, I was going to school. That was probably a, we thought it was a big event. It didn't amount to anything.
Was the Manson sawmill working when you were?
All my life. Mm-hmm. The girls, it was two Manson girls, and they always done the cooking. And I guess Manson's had a sawmill in about four different hollows between here and where I lived up the creek, and logged off all these hills around here. And then the last one they had was on the other side of the mountain. But the last of that family just passed away. Just when did Ed die? Last winter? He married one of my nieces. That was one of the boys. But there was a big family when they, I can remember when they built this house here at the store. That was the Manson house. And that was a pretty good house in its day.
There was a story you told me last time that at one time there were more people living around the Manson sawmill than in town here?
Well, there was. That was when we, no, that wasn't the Manson sawmill. Oh. That was when I was little. And it was right up the creek here. And my dad used to say that there was about as many, I don't remember it. I remember seeing the sawmill driving by, but he said there was as many up the creek here, just in the first mile, where the men who worked at the mill, I guess they must have had shacks around, little houses, where they worked in the mill. But I just can't quite remember that. Then when I got old enough to remember, why it was the Manson sawmill.
Where was the mill of Canada our father come to when he come out here?
Well, that was over Flanagan Creek, I think. Over someplace, the Kaufman sawmill was over but on Flanagan Creek. He come here from Kansas.
That was a good many years ago.
Yeah, from Kansas, and worked a year, and then sent for our mother, and she come out on the train with five kids, she always said. I herded five kids from Kansas.
Five or six.
I think. Huh? Jim and you girls was all. I wasn't born yet. Jim and you girls were all. I wasn't born yet. And then the only brother we had, I told you, he was killed when our father and him was making wood when I was 3 months old up on our place. This sister who is in Spokane at the home now, she used to always go up on the hill. She remembered the tree where Jim was, got killed. And this woman who lives right here, she's a widow now. I don't know if you saw her, that Mrs. Vollmer was a kind of a odd looking, well, I don't know if she's odd looking. We think she's had a slight,
she's had a slight stroke.
Her dad and my dad come together. And worked.
They came out together looking for a place
and,
to settle?
Uh-huh. And my dad always said, from Walla Walla up here, there was a lot of railroad land. You know, when the railroad went through, on either, there was a big right-of-way. And then later they sold that off. He said he could have filed or bought any place from Walla Walla up to here, the railroad land. But he come on to the woods because he had been hailed out so many times that he didn't want the farmland. So he always wondered if he made a mistake. You know, they these were just brush ranches, sort of. They would clear off land, and he eventually got enough to make a living, but then they did different things. These down here were wheat farmers, and sometimes that was pretty good, the wheat farming. But I guess he probably made a living, too, just like they did, but he always...
Did he sell a lot of wood?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, every winter I can remember somebody was making wood. They make it awful cheap, you know, them days, and now it's $40 a cord.
Where would they take it? Where would they sell it?
One time, well, the farmers all had to buy wood if they didn't have timber.
With a four horse
Yes.
Wagons and horses.
Just that was a great thing in the spring and the fall, of four-horse wagons coming by wood, and then he'd sell his wood. But I remember one time he said that he bought a new sled in the fall and had his wood made as usual, and never gotten the snow never come enough to make the roads good until way late. He said in March he finally got to hauling wood to Pullman, sold all his wood, and paid for his sled. He worried all winter that the snow didn't come. You know, it used to be we had lots more snow than we do now. I don't know where the snow went to. You could go from...
Well, I think cutting all the timber off and everything.
Something done away with it, or else we just changed, because you could go a horseback from here to Pullman just over the fences. The drifts would be big and it would get hard. I don't think in the winter they used to even stay on the road lots of times when you was going someplace. Just go cross country.
That would be... Usually in the winter, and you could just
well,
go across
like it.
The
we never
here. We used to go to school over the tops of the fences all the time.
Yeah,
well, and I and don't it could, the crust could support a
yes.
horse.
Yes,
hold us up. Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know what changed all that. Seems like then, when cars come and they got better roads, we just stayed on the road. And we always called going to Uncle B's. That was a family. They're not really not uncles, some of the married relation. Mm-hmm. But they always exchanged Christmas and Thanksgiving. Seems like Aunt Clara always had Thanksgiving dinner. Well, it was something very strange if we didn't go in the sled. And look now, here it's just fall when we have Thanksgiving. But when I was a kid, we always figured to go over there in the sled. So things have changed some way or other. I don't know.
Was it colder in the summers, or?
I thought it was just about the same, wasn't it?
Just as hot.
Yes. But we just seem to have more snow.
Did you have any more rain, or were the creeks bigger then?
Well, it seemed like they did, because I remember when a little girl was drowned down here, some of Eunice's. No, it was the other Hill family. Wasn't Bud's sister, or was it Bud's sister that was drowned?
Yeah.
I believe it was. There was, during our young life, there was two Hills on either side of the road down here on 4 Mile. No relation, and they each raised big families, and I didn't know what their relation till I grew up, and one was Eunice's husband's family, and the other was Frank Hill. And one of them families had a girl who was drowned.
Eunice's sister-in-law. Bud's sister.
Yeah, well, it seemed as though they were crossing on a plank or something. What was it? I remember the body washed way down below the schoolhouse. Little girls, probably 6 or 5. And I remember one time up under this.
That's 4 Mile Creek.
Mm-hmm. And under the bridge up here, Lou and Otis almost drowned when they were little, so evidently there was more water before they cut off the timber off. Sure.
Could you swim in the creek?
No, not be swimming, but up here about a mile up the creek where Ava lives now, Davises lived there, and in the spring we used to have a raft there in front of the house, us kids. There's 2 or 3 boys and 2 or 3 girls, and I was always there. We had a raft in them, and we used to go around in the raft.
Yes,
so
that creek used to be big.
Yeah, much bigger than now. But then you read after the timber's cut off, it does something. They don't hold the water like it used to. So they was a lot bigger. But it seems like, for an awful lot of years, this creek ain't been very big. But this goes clear down to Colfax. You've been down to, you know, this just gets bigger and bigger. I guess it goes to the Columbia River, don't it?
I don't know.
Eventually.
Yes. Well,
don't let the snake.
Oh,
which one of those goes?
Well, some of them maybe do. I don't know. I'd have to look on the map, I guess.
Oh, were there other sawmills around besides?
Yes.
Were there a lot of them?
Lots. Well, that was big business them days, and I don't know what they did with their lumber. Now, where my son works up at the Bennett Mill, you familiar with the Bennett Mill?
Used to build all the houses with lumber.
Yes. And that Bennett Mill's been remodeled in the last 10 years, but all my young life, that was Boone's Mill, you know. Bess Darling used to cook up there. And it was a big mill in its day, but now it's got to be, more modern and a bigger mill. And I know they sell a lot of their lumber goes to Japan, where my son works now. But I think it just went around here to the towns. It was building up, and you know all these big houses that you see now didn't cost so much to build those days. So I guess it was used a lot of it around. It wasn't so many people, too, you know. Moscow wasn't a very big town then.
Would they work all year round?
No, but they logged different. They, now they do what you call hot logging. The logs are cut and loaded on the trucks and come right to the mill. It used to be they worked in the woods all winter and cut them and decked them up in big piles. And then when the roads got good, if they never got snow to haul them in the winter, then they were hauled with teams on wagons in the summer when the roads got dry. So it's altogether different. I don't know which is the better way, but it's the way they done it.
Did they usually haul with sleighs around here?
Yes, Manson, I can remember, used to have sleighs in the winter to haul his logs. Big, decks, four or five. I remember this one I said just died, Ed Manson. He used to, he grew up in the lumber business, and he visited us here a few years ago and looked up the mountain, and he said, in a better road than used to be, he said, I don't know if I could skin a outfit down there now. And I said, well, when we get old, we don't do things. And he said, who the hell's getting old? But he was as old as I was, but he didn't want to think about it, you know. But he used to think he was a pretty good driver with the teams. They always had nice big horses. And Potlatch Barn always had the best horses in the country. They did logging with teams, too.
Well, how much later was it they put them on the streams and brought them down the rivers?
Well, I guess maybe they always done that a little after Potlatch got to, they used to have log, what do they call them?
Log drives.
Log drives down the river. But I don't know whether they always did that. I suppose they did. In the spring when the water got high, they would deck them on the banks and then roll them in the river. That was quite a thing to go down and see the logs come down the river.
Mm.
So maybe they always done that.
You'd go up to Potlatch and watch that?
Oh, no.
Oh.
I never did, although we see them come down, never in the Pluse River. I don't believe they had log roll.
Not so much up here as down Lewiston.
Yeah, I think Lewiston's where the log drives were. I don't think this stream would get big enough.
What was that story again about the day that you were born?
That's the sister in Spokane tells that. That the midwife, the mother of old Lady Smith, wasn't it, up on the hill?
I guess so.
She said, well, they was 9 and 10 and 7 or so, and it was a stormy day in March, you know, kind of snowing, and this old lady made them play outdoors, and she always tells that story, said that they couldn't stay in the house, they had to stay out in the cold the day I was born. And she was 10.
But they were supposed to be in the house?
Ordinarily they would, but you know, we didn't go to the hospital. My mother was in labor there, and I suppose that had to keep the kids away.
Kids weren't told all about that.
They don't know from the day that it's conceived anymore, you know, like they do now. It would be no surprise, I suppose, to them kids.
Yeah.
It sure changed in that way. Don't you find it that way? Now the kids, they just know or don't.
Kids know as much about as the parents.
More, I think, a little. That's what the father, the mother told their husband, had to tell this boy about the birds and the bees. And so he got him off one time and he said, it's time for you to know about the birds and talk about the birds and the bees. And the kid says, what do you want to know, Dad? And that's about the way it is, you know, they know everything.
Was there very much in Viola when you were young? What stores were there?
Well, at one time we've had about 3 stores in Viola at one time. Anyway, 2 pretty good, so there's little competition. But the first store I remember was when I told you we had the big hotel. And now that was when lumber was cheap, because nobody now would build a hotel. But of course, there wouldn't be any call for it, because they would stay in Moscow. But then, you know, that there wasn't so many places to stay, and the traveling man would stay at this hotel. And that hotel served meals, and it had rooms to stay, and it had a little store too. Don't you remember Comer's store? I can't remember exactly what he had, but I suppose a little candy and flour and nuts and bolts and what have you, just ordinary little store. Now it seems like they had everything. If you had a store, you had a little of everything. Now it's specialized, you know, like the Safeway and them. There's one thing that they sale. So,
and that was around when you were young. That
yeah.
Mhm.
I expect we stayed there. I said a couple or 3 winters when I first started to school, because that seemed like a long ways, and that's how deep the snow was. You know, our dad would come a Friday afternoon and get us and bring us back. And you know, now it's 5 minutes even to walk. I don't know how it got so close.
Well, how far away were you?
3 miles. But the roads were awful bad. You would get awful bad in the breakup, you know, after it snowed all winter, and then the slush and things. I can remember even about the mud yet, can't you? Mm-hmm. Then
would you get stuck in it much? Or?
Well, you could easily. Up where we lived, when they first begun to haul big loads over the mountain, we call it, why then there's somebody always stuck. You know, couldn't get up the hill one way or the other, you know, it mired down. I can remember Bert Morgan pulling him out many times. That was after I was grown out, up, when he'd have a load of feed or something going back to the
hill. Where Ava lives, that hill was always bad too. It drifts.
That drifted there, but on up to the big mountain where we go over. You see, this is 4 mile here, and over the hill is Flanagan Creek. This is always confused in everybody's mind. They call it going up Flanagan Creek, but it isn't Flanagan Creek until they get over the mountain. But everybody knows where Flanagan Creek is.
So what was the story about how you went to school then? You'd come in here? You'd come to Viola?
There was school at Via here, and that's when we stayed at the hotel. That's when I was little. And then later, the other girls were going to Moscow, and it used to be 1 or 2 winters you batched, you had rooms, and sometimes you worked for your board. You worked for your board once time at Mrs. Smith, didn't you, at the dressmakers. Well, they'd sometimes come home on Friday night, and I can remember it was awful to get up early Monday morning to drive with the team. Our dad would take us early enough to get to school. Well, I don't remember that too long, but we did that.
How long would you stay in Viola to
well,
go to school?
Well, we'd stay until
eighth grade, it used to be.
Yeah, eighth grade. And then later, when Shirley went to school, we had a couple of years of high school, but I never had high school while her eye, but when my daughter was there, we did.
Yeah.
But you came into Viola every winter and went to school
here?
Well,
that's what we did for two or three winters. We stayed, and then I guess the kids all got big enough to go to town to school. Mm-hmm. Everybody didn't do that, but I remember Vanna Cheney said she cooked for the kids over here, and they live 3 miles up on another hill. So I guess it was too far to come every day. You just couldn't get here.
Yeah.
Well.
We got one of our senior citizens. Mm-hmm.
Well, they just call them rag rugs that you make the strips and sew them together, and then use the warp and make the rag rug. I guess that.
That was the kind of rugs that you?
Seemed to be. Uh huh.
I don't know what they look like.
You don't?
No.
Well, we don't have any.
Oh, wait, maybe I do. Okay.
Yeah, I think probably you do. They make them in strips. Yeah. And sew the strips together, old-fashioned ones. Well, I suppose the loom would be so wide, and then if you wanted it wider, you put two or three strips and sew them together. I think that's probably.
I wanted to have you tell me again about the 93 Depression, what you remember of that.
93, but they still had to burn wood, so he always said that was a pretty good year for him. He built the new house because he could trade wood for everything. He had a few cattle, and they'd bring loads of grain. It was damaged, you know, but it was still good cattle feed. Yeah, that was pretty bad year. A lot of people mortgaged their homes and everything them days. But I guess our dad didn't have to do that. He sold wood, but it was hard times for quite a few years after that. Because they didn't have much money, you know. And we used to have the land banks, and I guess there's land banks yet, but I don't know anything about them. But so many people I can remember years after were still paying for their places because they mortgaged them to live during the Depression. But I guess we've had pretty bad depressions since then, haven't we? 29, don't they talk of 29, when a lot of people lost their money? I never had any to lose, but I guess a lot of people did. But I remember when the bank went broke and Pluse, our dad lost all the money he had. It wasn't $400 or $500, but the bank went broke and never did get. Don't think they ever got anything. Usually you get about 10 cents on the dollar after, and maybe he did, maybe I just don't remember or wasn't interested then. I was just a school kid. Probably money didn't mean too much to me.
Oh, it went broke. When did it go broke? You were pretty young then?
Yeah, in Pluse. I was about, probably 12 or 13. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember.
Yes, he had little money.
Huh? Wonder why he put it.
Well, I don't know just why, but I can remember when him and Dan had that thrashing machine, or Dan did, and I guess he put up money for it to run it or something. I remember that money that they made was in the bank in Pluse and never got anything for it. But I can remember when the banks in Moscow closed their doors, too, during some time. But that was
29 now.
Well, but I don't think that would have been 29 when the Pluse went broke. I don't know what made it go broke.
Did you ever, did you work out in the fields much? Or?
Oh, I helped my dad, but never, and then shock hay and things like that, you know, when we had alfalfa, everybody would get out and put up the shocks in the hay. But later then, in later years, Moscow, after they begun to raise peas, Moscow had, have you heard this story before?
You told it to me last time.
Had about 4 pea houses, and everybody that could get away from home picked peas. And that was big business. That's the first time I ever remember women working out much. Everybody picked peas in the winter.
They called it picking peas, but they didn't pick them.
picked sorry. Out the culls, but they always called it picking peas. But the, not an elevator, what thing, roller things come towards you and you just picked out the cull peas as it went by. Put the cull peas in the box and your good peas went down in the hopper. But some people, well, I believe at Wilson's there was probably 2 shifts and I expect 40 at a shift or maybe 50. So it took a lot of women.
It was all women.
Yeah, the men took care of the machinery, but I don't remember any men sorting peas. But
did any women work in the prune dryer and stuff that they had here?
Well, we never had a big prune dryer, but the Cheneys had a dryer that they dried all the prunes for years, and then later they got to shipping them. They didn't dry them anymore. I guess it was sale or something. They got a sale for them fresh. And we kids used to pick prunes in the fall up the Cheney Orchard. And I have picked apples, not picked apples, packed apples at Julietta a couple of falls. You know, there used to be orchards around.
When was that that you'd go down there? Were you married?
No, just before I was married. And they begun early enough that you could work 6 weeks before school started. And I think they packed fruit here some fall. Everybody had big orchards.
How would you pack fruit down there?
Oh, well, they were sorted and you wrapped them in, you got pretty fast. You wrapped them in paper.
Paper?
Uh-huh. Just
each one get wrapped
mm-hmm,
up?
Mm-hmm. And that according to the amount in the box. Great big apples, you'd only have about 50, and then all the way up to 75 or 60, I've just really forgot. But they shipped lots of apples from here. But then after wheat got better price, well then everybody dug up their orchards and went wheat farming. But
last time you told me about, you remember the first wheat that you saw?
Wheat.
Yeah.
Oh yes, that was when I was a kid and our father got enough to sow a field of wheat. An old man, the man that Carrie, you know, lived up on the hill with all the boys, he cut it with a scythe. And I remember putting a wheat around. You'd gather up a bundle and you'd take another bundle and fasten the wheat together and put it around, make shocks. I can remember my dad doing that. Of course, there's just a little. And then I think probably in a year or two we got the binder. But Mr. Weareye cut it with a scythe. I can remember trailing along behind him. I was probably like Bonnie about then. And not enough to thrash, but later, then every year my dad had to have a little more in cultivation until it finally got so we had enough to, they bound, and then later years there was a thrashing machine went through and would thrash.
Now, you talked about strawberries last time.
Oh,
did you have strawberries?
Yes, whole hillsides. That was got to be a cash crop too. We kids was all raised in the strawberry patch and have to pick strawberries, but that's the time you could buy a few things. The stores would buy your strawberries, you know. You know what crates are. Now they're flats, but crates used to be double. Had 2 layers in. And they sold for lots less than the one flat does now. But even so, money was went lots farther. You bought lots more things then.
Did you ever get any money yourself to, you know, just buy whatever you wanted to
Well,
buy?
The first time, first money I ever made, any amount, I packed apples. And I think I made about, $300 that fall. I thought I was rich. I bought I bought a rug up home, you know, and I bought me a new saddle for my horse. And I can't remember all the rest of the things I bought, but that was a lot of money in them days. I can remember Ma and I went to Creighton's. Creighton's store was in Moscow yet them days. And I bought things there, and I can remember how that old fella asked my mother what about the money. He didn't think I had it in the bank, but I did. He couldn't believe it. I was about 15. But I think he didn't see that much money too often either, you know, their stores was. But that's about the first I remember of having any good money of my own. What is it they call it? Honest money or mad money is what Ann calls it when her husband divvies out a little that she don't have to account for. Yeah, that was.
What'd you do between the time that you graduated from school and got married?
Well, I just got married right after I got out of school. But all these things happened, the picking, working in the fruit. And I went with a cookhouse, too, a couple of years. That was money before I got married, helping somebody in the cookhouse. I made money at that, too. But from the time I was 15 to 19, I think I was only 19 when I got married, there were just 4 years that I worked out to do things and make money. But at home, we had strawberries, but we didn't really get paid. I think we got things that we wanted, but they didn't just pay us then. Mm-hmm. We just worked at home.
Well, I wanted to ask you, do you know anything about the boy that burned down the schoolhouse?
Oh, indeed I did. Lived over here, across from Uni, all their life, old Stacker and my dad was good friends. And these boys come along, their older girl married one of them Weir Eye boys, you remember, that come up. They come from back east, this Weir Eye family. And I remember then they were mail carriers. The boys grew up and they were pretty hard up, a big family, didn't have much money. And I know, I can remember Bill Weir Eye telling, our dad said, I think we'd have starved to death if it hadn't been for you letting us cut wood and have a beef to eat and probably potatoes when they come from back east, didn't have any place to come. Well, that family grew up and they all worked for my dad, but this one married a Stacker girl, and that was this boy who did all the burning. That was his oldest sister. But she must have been quite a bit older than these two boys. You know, there was an adopted girl in between, and I don't know where they got them, Mamie.
Didn't their daughter die, and then they adopted one?
Something, maybe, but the older girl was Ella, you know. She married this mail carrier all his life. He just died a few years ago, carried mail out of Clues. But
What inspired that boy?
We don't know. He was... nowadays you'd call him a little bit retarded. He was a little fat. They were German people. And there was two boys. What was it, Bernard? And what was the little one's name? The one that done the fire wasn't Bernard. Bernard was about my age. And then Mamie was the adopted girl, a little older. Some way they took her when she was little, but she wasn't any relation, but she was their daughter called, so. Bernard, and was he Freddie?
I don't remember what his name was.
Well, anyway, they said he just didn't want to go to school. But why he built the fires, nobody knew. But afterwards, they decided that this stepdaughter and him kind of either dared each other, or she was with him some when he built the fires. But nobody knew that.
Now, what all, he burnt down the church after
he burnt the church and he burnt the school. And then there was an old hall set up here above my son's place, you know, on the corner there, just across the river. It was a shop, and they had the dance hall above, and below, then they fixed up, had school in that. I went to school in that before that. I guess it had been a little schoolhouse before. But anyway, nobody knew why he burnt that. But every Sunday night, we'd have a big fire for 3 Sundays, I think, wasn't it? Well, you wasn't here. But finally, they found out who it was. They caught him one night. I think this girl and this young boy. He wasn't very old. He couldn't have been more than 13 or 14, and she was about 16, I guess. And they caught him at it. And the father felt so bad. He didn't know they was doing that. And so rather than to, oh, they had a trial and a few things, but rather than to send him to away, the father moved away. He sold out over here, and they moved up by Rosalia. And it was funny, many years later, this sister of ours that's up in Spokane, her and her husband used to go up to the lake a lot in fish up Chatkalet. Well, one time she was fishing there, and she said this man and woman were taking pictures. And she, of course, was out there catching fish. She was a pretty good fisherman. And they said, can't we take your picture? And she said, yes, if you'll send me one when it's done. So when it come, she lived in Spokane then, or Pullman, I don't know. When it come, there was this boy's name on the that had taken the picture. She didn't know it because she was away from here and married before this happened, you see. But she said there it was a Stacker boy's name, but I can't think what his name was. It might have been Freddie, but the oldest one that went to school with me was Bernard. But anyway, so he grew up and married evidently and lived someplace up there. He probably grew into a pretty smart kid. I don't know. They said he was just a, what do they call him, that loved to see fires. And they said maybe that was what ailed him. Maybe he just liked to see a fire. And others said he didn't want to go to school, but I don't think he would have been that desperate. A kid don't usually be that desperate. I can't think he would be even 14 when he built them fires.
Just a kid.
It don't seem to me like he would have been more than 12. But anyway, he done away with a lot of of buildings.
Caused a lot of trouble.
Yes, he did.
Did you go to dances much?
Oh, indeed. After they built, the hall used to set up here. Oh, right about where Lila lives. You know who Lila is? Where this nice little house on the hill. Well, the hall set up there. And during my time, I thought I couldn't hardly have a dance without me. About 15 to 16, 17. And my husband's people, they had a little orchestra, two or three brothers. And even after we were married, we always went to dances up there.
They built that place up there after this one burned down?
Yes. When you was young, you went upstairs there that got burnt down. Well, then, Una and I have talked about that. We don't know who built this one up here. We didn't have any Grange here then. And we don't know, but I think Bud said the band boy, some way, somebody engineered and took up a collection. Lumber wasn't very high then. They built that. And it was quite a nice big hall. But long ago, when I was little, we had a band, and I can remember the band boys used to march on Decoration Day, and that was Maccabees. The Maccabee Lodge, but that seemed to dwindle out. I don't know, then whatever become, that just faded. I can remember Sam Bowles, and that's about all I can remember, but then there was others around, whoever was in the band, but I can remember seeing them with their outfits on, do you? And I think that hall must have belonged to them. The first hall that was built.
Where would the band?
Oh, march down around. I don't know. I suppose we went to the cemetery. I can't remember, but I can remember seeing them all dolled up.
Yeah.
Do you? You?
No, I
forgot that part.
How did you you meet your husband? Did you know him long
before? Oh, they farmed out on the other side of Moscow, and then they moved over here. I guess moved to Viola, but I think I knew him in Moscow when we were going to school. And then they moved out here. Now he's another one that went through 93 and lost John's dad, because he had a big crop in. I don't think he owned the land, but they rented, and he had a lot of boys to work it. And his brother-in-law, I remember he was always mad at that brother-in-law. He said he was going to thrash for him, but instead of that, he quit on his and went back home and done his. So he saved most of his crop, and Grandpa Byers was always mad about that. And you would be, you know, but a fellow looks out for themselves, you know. And the rain come, and my dad always said, you'd think it was going to clear off, and maybe it would stay clear and sunshine for a whole day or two, and just about the time it got ready and dry enough to thrash, it would shower again. And that's the way it done all fall. That was 93. I can remember him telling that. Do you, or do you?
Oh, do you remember much about the Seventh-day Adventists coming?
Oh, indeed I did. I was there when they come, and I've outlived them. I always said that. Yes, I remember when the first one that come, that we, oh well, there's some before around that lived here. There was one family, the Christensens. But when they begun to flock in, you know, they were going to have a cereal meal. They was going to make breakfast food, and they got lots of people coming. That was the first. I suppose they were the field men. And they had a little money, and then the ones that come later, why, they were looking for work, and it didn't materialize, you know. And so then they just went away one by one. Oh, well, they bought little places and probably would work at the mills or something. But, and then they had the school. Then that brought in a few boarding students up here where the Shefflins live. Yes, we outlived them all. Mr. Hart come, I can remember, he was going to buy our place. And our folks sat up all night a-wondering just where they'd go or what they'd do. But by morning, now I was about 15, 14, 13, some. I was the only kid at home, because I can remember Ma saying the Advent women thought that's the only kid she had. The rest was all grown up and married. And I was riding a horse. But the Hart then, he went over and bought Mrs. Rothbart's place and built that house. And my folks stayed right there.
They decided
they didn't want to sell. So then they bought all around us, and our dad sold some of the land down there. You know, somebody bought, stripped down there and built a house, but the fence went back, couldn't pay for it. So that's the way it was. But there was houses all around, about like there is trailer houses now. The lumber was cheap, and everybody buy a little 5 acres or so. And there was several houses around there. And they all went to school. I guess they had a good school. The teachers would come from Walla Walla or College Place, you know that. College Place is an Advent town down below Walla Walla. And that's Karen. You know who Karen is? Well, Karen's second generation of the Advent family. But I don't think she's Advent now. I doubt if she is. But her folks were strong Advents. And her dad still is, and her grandma.
Were there ever bad feelings between, people who were Adventists?
Adventists and other... No, because we always had church up here, and that was just Christian church or community. And the Advents pretty much stayed away. They didn't send their kids down here. We was too worldly. But in later years they did. Karen's dad went to school with my daughter. And they got lots broader minded afterwards, you know. They thought the world was just coming to an end, right? They used to preach and have camp meeting. They had a great big tent over there where us kids used to go. And good ministers come, but they still thought they would end up.
Where were the camp meetings?
Right here in Viola, several
in
summer.
Town?
Right, yeah. One up there by the Gray House before that house was built. I can remember going to camp meeting there, big tent meeting.
Those were Seventh Day?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's before. Then, in later years, these faith people, you know, the one that Dorothy belongs to, they had camp meetings here when they first